It is sweet to trust in Jesus. If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 22, and we will pick up where we left off this morning. Thank you for answering the admonition to be back at 1 o'clock this afternoon. I still believe that every time we gather is just as important as any other time. You think so? I'm afraid sometimes our culture informs our activities more than the Bible does. And I hope that God will change our hearts to where we'll be led of the Spirit and the Scriptures more than anything. Amen. All right, if you're able, let's stand together. Acts 22, 22 is where we're going to pick up. Acts 22, 22. So just recap, in case you missed it, we've seen Paul, he was first attacked by the mob. And then essentially he's, for lack of a better term, he's arrested by the Roman authorities, which they get him, really they're rescuing him from the mob. At the same time, they're arresting him because they believe he's caused some kind of trouble. He's been the cause of this uproar. And so they've arrested him, really protected him. And now we've seen him stand on the steps of the Roman garrison, raising his hands, getting everyone's attention, and he tells his story, right? And his story is the story of Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, and how God had come to him and saved him on the road to Damascus. And so he shares that story. And then at the end of it, he says this awful word that sets the people off again, right? He says the word Gentiles. And they were listening to everything he said up until he says that word. And then they say, in verse 22, they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the time together again this afternoon. I thank you for this church. I thank you for these saints. I thank you for the opportunity we have to worship together, to pray together, and to learn of you together. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth this afternoon, that you teach us, help us to become the men, women, and boys and girls that you want us to be, that we can walk with you in wisdom, we can walk with you in faith, and we can walk with you in courage as we continue on our journey home. Please forgive our failures and help. Lord, I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So the main points we talked about this morning, number one, be courageous in your trials. On your journey home, you're going to be faced with trials, tribulations, difficulties are going to come. Be courageous because God's in control and you can trust in him. The second main thing we talked about is that we need to be seeking to fulfill the commission at every opportunity. It's why we're here, is to know him and to make him known. We are here to be disciples who make disciples. So we got to look at every circumstance we're in as an opportunity to fulfill the commission. Our job is to make disciples, and so every opportunity God gives us, whether that's at school or at work or at the hospital or at home or anywhere in between, we have opportunities to fulfill that. And it may look like a dad just talking to your kids about Jesus as you go through life together. It may be a mom around the breakfast table talking to their kids about Jesus. It may be you talking to a coworker at work. It may be you students at school with your friends around the lunch table. It could be anywhere at any time, but we need to look at every opportunity. Everything is an opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission. It's why we're here, and we're all supposed to do that work. Every one of us. Every one of us are to be doing that work. I tried to kind of give you some principles. I didn't let you know that's what I was doing this morning. But there are some principles that we pull from this text that I think we can apply to beyond just those main points. The first one I shared with you earlier today was that we ought to embrace every circumstance as though it's from God, because it is. Every circumstance, just realize that whatever condition you're in, that God put you there, and embrace it as such. The second one I tried to tell you this morning was to engage every opportunity to preach Jesus. Engage every opportunity to preach Jesus. In other words, we ought to see every situation as an opportunity to preach Christ to other people. Just thinking about people that I try to follow or learn from these days, Ray Comfort's at the top of that list, especially when it comes to evangelism. And Ray Comfort does an outstanding job of using every circumstance that comes, especially things that are on people's minds. Okay, just think about it. What's one of the biggest things in the news right now? The last couple of weeks? Fires in LA. Just thinking about all the billions of dollars of homes that have burned. Families have lost everything. So many of those families, their insurance was cut off months or years ago, and they have no option to get insurance. When their homes burned down, they literally lost everything. They have no insurance that's going to come rebuild their home. They've lost it all. Some of those families have lived in those homes for generations. And some of them, of course, were very wealthy people with billions of dollars and millions of dollars, I guess, hundreds of millions of dollars, and lost multi-million dollar mansions. It didn't matter, right? The fire doesn't discriminate. Right? It didn't burn down poor people's homes and leave the rich people's, or vice versa. In those areas with 90-mile-an-hour winds and just a furnace, a fury of flame destroying miles and miles and thousands of acres. Listen, that's an opportunity to preach the gospel. You may think, well, you shouldn't exploit that. Listen, if a politician's going to exploit it for their political reasons, we're not exploiting anything. What we're saying is that there are realities that we face, and you need to be prepared for eternity. Amen. Right? So whatever circumstances, we want to engage every opportunity to preach Jesus. I mean, if somebody's going to talk to you about what's happening in the world, why in the world wouldn't we use those situations to preach Jesus? So we want to do that. And then we talked about this, establish common ground with people. We want to try to find common ground with others. Everybody's not your enemy. I believe that you can't talk to another human that Jesus didn't die for. I understand there's some theology that would teach that Jesus didn't die for everybody. I don't believe that at all. I believe that Christ died for everyone. And so I can't talk to another human that Jesus didn't die for. And so why wouldn't I want to try to establish common ground with them so that I can reach them with the gospel? And then we talked about this, exalt the Lord. Our story is not about us. Your story is not about you. It's about Jesus. And isn't that a beautiful thing? Everybody in just this room this afternoon, just here on a Sunday afternoon here at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Mulder, Oklahoma, we have a lot of stories here. Amen. Don't we? Just in this small group, we have a ton of stories. Amen. And every one of us has a different story, but all of our story is really about Jesus. Amen. It's his story, really. My story for his glory, and we want to exalt Christ as we share our story with others. And then so those were... excuse me, some of the principles I tried to bring out this morning, just that we gleaned from it. The main points, though: be courageous in your trials, fulfill the commission at every opportunity. And the third point this afternoon that we want to cover is yield constantly to the Spirit's leading. God bless you. Yield constantly to the Spirit's leading. As we pick up at verse 22, they listened to everything he said up until that word, Gentiles. Then they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Because he said that God told him, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, they said, you need to die. Like, that's the worst thing he could have ever said, was that God wants Gentiles to hear the gospel. God wants Gentiles to hear the good news. God has a way for even those Gentiles to be saved. They hated him for that. They thought he ought to die just for suggesting that. And then in verse 23, it says, as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. You guys get this? These people were out of their minds. Okay? When the Bible says they cried out, they cast off their clothes and threw their dust in the air, what it means is they cried out like maniacs. They literally were ripping their coats off and throwing them down. They're picking up dust and throwing it in the air. They're just losing their minds. And that's what it means. That's what was going on. Can you imagine somebody just flipping out like that? And some of you are like, yeah, I mean, I was this Thanksgiving with my family. I mean, I don't know if you've seen anybody lose their mind like this, but that's what was going on. So they were going insane. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, they tied his hands up. Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. The chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. Okay, so there's a lot going on here. And just to kind of give you the context, if you're a Roman citizen, you have rights under Roman rule. If you are not a Roman citizen, you are a dog. And that's the way the world worked under the Roman Empire. If you're a Roman citizen, you had rights. You could not be arrested unless you were condemned. You certainly couldn't be beaten unless you were condemned. And so the chief captain thought this that Paul was an Egyptian who had caused a bunch of trouble. He thought he was somebody else. At the very least, after he gives a speech, he thinks he's a Jew. And so I don't even know that he really understood everything that Paul said, because remember, he's speaking in Hebrew. It's very unlikely that the chief captain or the centurion spoke Hebrew, so now they really don't even know what's going on. All I know is everybody was quiet and listened for a while, and then they lost their minds again. So he does not know he's a Roman. He has him bound, and they're going to scourge him. And you guys remember what that scourging is right, like? You remember what that's like? Okay, so they were going to scourge him, and Paul does this really strange thing, because we followed his story, right? There were lots of times that Paul got arrested. Lots of times that he was beaten. Lots of times that he endured stone. He was even stoned, beaten with rods. He's already been scourged multiple times, and he's taken it all of these times. But this time he says, is it right? Is it lawful for you to scourge a man, to beat a man who is a Roman citizen, and I have not been condemned? And this terrifies the centurion, who goes and tells the chief captain, and he's scared. He's scared because he even bound his hands. Okay? Why? If you did something to a Roman citizen unjustly, then what was done to them would be done to you, up to and including death. Okay? The law protected Roman citizens to a very high degree. In other words, the chief captain's life could have been in jeopardy if he would have scourged him and then found out later that he was a Roman and he had scourged him without him being condemned. That chief captain would have probably been killed. You guys with me? So Paul, very likely, under the Roman law, it may be that Paul saved the chief captain's life because he would have been the one who gave the order. He would have been the one liable. So many times I read this and I'm like, I don't really understand why. Sometimes Paul takes the beating and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he escapes out a window, right? Sometimes he escapes at night and goes away. And sometimes he sticks around to the point that they drag him outside the city and stone him. And then he gets up out of the pile of rocks and goes back into the city. Like, why is it that sometimes he takes the beating and sometimes he doesn't? Sometimes he runs away and sometimes he stays. Sometimes he does one and sometimes he does another. Now, I'm not going to tell you this afternoon that I believe Paul always got it right because he was a man. But I will say this, the evidence points to the fact that Paul was a man who was led by the Spirit of God. And he stayed when the Spirit led him to stay. And he ran away when the Spirit led him to run away. He kept his mouth shut and took the beating when the Spirit led him to keep his mouth shut and take the beating. And he spoke up when the Spirit led him to speak up and avoid the beating. Was he a perfect man? Sinless man? No, but he was a mature follower of Jesus who, by all indications, was a man who was led of the Spirit. So what do we want to do? Well, I told you the main point was yield constantly to the Spirit's leading. This is how we exercise faith. We must maintain close and constant communication with the Holy Spirit so that we can determine and discern the Spirit's will in each moment of our day. Constant and close communication with the Holy Spirit so that we can discern His will in every moment. Is that possible? Can we have close communication with the Spirit of God? Does he speak to us? Does he lead us? Is he our teacher and our guide? Well, he better be, because that's what Jesus said he was going to be. He said he would be our comforter. And when he came, he would teach us all truth, that he would guide us into all truth. And in Romans, Paul teaches that if you're led of the Spirit, that you belong to God. And if you're not led of the Spirit, that you're not his. If you belong to Jesus, the Spirit lives inside of you, and he is leading you, but it's up to you to follow. It's up to you to die to self and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:17. Some of y'all get nervous around me because I got this cough. I promise I'm better. I was sick last week. The cough just won't go away. Okay? But if you want to do this, cross your fingers at me and stay away from me, it's fine. I'm not going to be offended. I'm sure that'll protect you. A little bit of this and Germex and you'll be fine. Okay. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord of God. Now, there's a lot there, but just the focus I want you to see. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, I want to give myself to him. I want to yield to him. I want to submit my life to him. My thoughts, my actions, my decisions, my words, I want to lay it all down and let him be in control. I want God to be in control, so I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when I do that, it's going to change the way I act. When I do that, it's going to change the way I talk. You guys see that? When you're filled with the, what's the first thing that happens after you're filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms. And by the way, he's not talking about talking to yourself. He's talking to us talking to each other. Everybody get that? Some of you guys have lots of really good conversations with yourselves. And so maybe you misunderstand this. But he's saying in the church, one another, in the body of Christ, speak to yourselves, speak to one another. And that's what happens. And we're speaking the truth of God because the Spirit of God is flowing through us. It's Colossians 3:16-17, right? Colossians 3:16, the parallel passage in Colossians, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the Word of God, these things go hand in hand. They're one and the same. And when we do that, it's going to change the way we talk. And that's where Paul was, right? What did he do? He stood up there to preach Jesus to those people because he was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God was in him. The Word of God was in him. And so that's what he preached. So we want to be constantly yielded to the Spirit's leading. Now, just a couple of things that we might notice here. Can I say that false teaching perpetuates racial hatred? False teaching perpetuates racial hatred. I get tired of hearing about racism in America today. Some of you may get tired of hearing about racism in America today too. But it is a reality in our world that people are racist. There is no place for racism in Christianity. I grew up in a little different generation than some of you did. Some of you grew up in a generation where racism was very prevalent and open. God deliver us. God deliver us from racism. Jesus died for all. You guys with me? It doesn't matter what country you're from. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter what your background is. Jesus died for all. And we ought to love everyone and have a desire to see everyone saved. This is one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in the Bible. When Paul just says the word Gentiles, that the Lord Jesus sent me to, says, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, they flipped out. They lost their minds. They wanted to tear him in pieces. They said it's not fit for him to even be alive. Do you know why? Because they were racists. Because they believed that God only loved them. They believed that the truth was only for them. They believed that God's grace and mercy was only for them. And they hated anybody who would even suggest that it was available for somebody else. Friends, if you grew up with that kind of nonsense, I hope you've put it far away from your heart and mind. And maybe you have a hard time with that. Some of you just can't even understand what I'm even talking about right now. But some of you grew up with people that you loved and respected, and the truth is they were wrong. They were wrong. They were wrong about their attitudes towards other people from other places with other colors of skin. And maybe you have a hard time separating that, but I'm here to tell you today there's no place for racism in Christianity, and there never has been a place for it. Is that fair enough? Some people, when you tell these truths, some people don't like it because you've just insulted their grandpa or their great-grandpa or their uncle or whatever. And I, like Mama said, I don't care if it hair lips the governor. I don't know why Mama said that, but she did. I don't care who it upsets. The truth is the truth. Okay? Sometimes you have to take the beating. Sometimes the beating can be avoided. If I'm in Paul's place, I'm going to try to avoid the beating every time. What about you? Listen, a lot of times he took the beatings. A lot of times maybe it was unavoidable. And I don't know how he always made that decision, but I think that he tried to be led of the Spirit, and I think that you have to do the same. I think in our context today it's way different, but I think that you could put yourself in a situation where you're standing up for the truth and you're preaching the truth, and you could be in a situation where you have to decide, am I going to stay in this argument? Am I going to stay in this debate? Am I going to stay in this situation, or am I going to walk away? And there may be times that God would have you to just walk away and avoid conflict, avoid physical altercations. But there may be a time, listen to me, there may be a time when God wants you to stand your ground, to stay on the sidewalk. And if it means getting arrested, then you get arrested. And if it means that you have people who are angry with you to the point of spitting on you or attacking you in some way, it may be a time that the Spirit of God leads you to stand your ground and stay where you're at and take whatever comes. I'm not about to make that decision for you. I would never even dream to. You are going to have to be Spirit-led in every situation. But I want you to know this. Conflict is not always avoidable. You cannot stand for the truth of Jesus, preach the truth of Jesus, standing in this darkness of this world and shining the light of the gospel and always avoid confrontation. You can't do it. The only way to do it is to be quiet. And God never called us to be quiet. Not when it comes to the gospel. Okay? So sometimes you have to take it. Sometimes you can avoid it. You're going to have to be Spirit-led. But God's given us his word. And he's given us his Spirit. So we can know and go the right way. In any situation. Aren't you thankful that God's not limited to just what he gave us in the Bible alone? That the Spirit of God can actually guide us? Aren't you glad? Like if you couldn't make a decision unless you could find the book, chapter, and verse, like you can't do anything. But God doesn't operate that way. He put his Spirit inside of you and he's given you the principles of the Word of God. So you take what the Scripture says and you take how the Spirit leads, and together those things will give you a very clear direction in your life. And for every situation, not just general, but in every situation, Lord, do I need to just walk away right now? Or do I need to stay here and stay in this conversation? That's real. And God's going to lead us. So there he was, freeborn. He didn't have to pay a great price for his freedom. He was born free. And so now he's in a position where he can use his citizenship as a Roman citizen to help him go the direction where God wants him to go. And you can see how God worked in Paul's life from the time he was born, from before he was born. He orchestrated where he would be born, how he would be raised, who he would be taught by. And now he's able to stand in both of these worlds, the Jewish world and the Roman world. And he's able to preach the gospel to all of the mob and also to the captain to the centurion, to governors and kings, and ultimately he would stand before Caesar, and he would stand for Jesus in both of those worlds, the Jewish and the Roman world, because God specially created him for that. Listen to me. Maybe you look at that and say, man, that's wild. I mean, look at all that God did in Paul's life. Do you know that God specifically created you, specially made you for your world too? That where you're from and all the things and circumstances you've been through in your life, God has worked all of that out. He's orchestrated all of that to make you who you are so that you can be a witness for Jesus in your world. I'm trying to tell you that you're very special today. And God loves you very much. And he made you for such a time as this. And what you're called to do is to be a disciple who makes disciples. And we got to do that by being led by the Spirit. Let's stand together. We're going to close with a song this afternoon.